strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you spending some time with the show. News came out. We talked with Ken Bennett earlier, and Ken Bennett is well-known in political circles around the state of Arizona. Ken Bennett was the Secretary of State at one time. He was the Senate President and has been in political circles for a long time here in Arizona. Highly respected, somebody I think has got a high character. I've made it very clear in my disagreement with the direction this audit has taken to make sure that I exclude the people that are connected to this audit that I disagree with, absolutely, but I'm not calling their character into question when I'm calling out this audit. I wanted to be very clear about that because there are people that I ultimately respect a great deal, and Ken Bennett is one of them. And so I disagreed, but one thing about Ken is he would come on the show and talk about it. I gave a lot of credit to the Senate president because I've been very critical of this audit, and this is her audit. I mean, she is the one that hired the company to do it. This is her audit. In the end, you know, they're the ones that called for this, and yet in the midst of my disagreement, they have been willing to come on and discuss it. So I give them a lot of credit for that. Ken Bennett came on the show and we talked about a rift going back to last weekend where Ken Bennett was locked out of the building where the count is going on. Now, the cyber ninjas are not doing this count. Now, there is a guy that worked for the ninjas that isn't anymore. Contract ended. He is now an employee, I guess, of the state counting ballots. So what they are doing is counting not votes, counting the number of ballots that they actually have in their possession. I believe that count is done today and the ballots will be returned very, very soon to the county. They will be done with that portion of it. But Ken Bennett on Friday showed up, I think it's at the Wesley Boland building out at the state fairgrounds, and was told he was not allowed in. But they didn't fire him. He was still the liaison for the Senate. He came on this show to explain. He had had a long conversation, was trying to work it out with the Senate president for him to remain in that role. And we found out this morning that he has decided to resign from that position. So he is not going to be the Senate liaison anymore. And I would imagine that Randy Pullen has taken over that position. Mr. Pullen is a former chairman of the Republican Party here in Arizona. And that's the capacity in which I knew him. And I have a good rapport with him as well. I just disagree with the direction, and they disagree with my disagreement, if that makes any sense. And to see this happen to Ken Bennett, because I don't think it's everyone, and I've talked to some very civil people that are invested in this audit, not just people that are passionate about it. I mean invested. They are volunteers. They are down there on a daily and a weekly basis, or were invested in this audit that I'm very close to. So I understand their investment is pretty deep. So I'm not talking necessarily about them. But there is a reason why the audit's Twitter account was suspended, why their War Room Twitter account was suspended. And then I think the Pennsylvania audit, I don't know anything about that one, and their Twitter account was suspended. There was a lot of anger, and you know, there's a lot of anger being thrown in my direction, which I'll be honest, it hasn't bothered me much. From certain people with accusations toward me have, because I would hope that they would know me better. But I don't get offended by what people say on Twitter. I don't. I love debate on social media. I love to have conversations with people that I disagree with, because there's a lot of smart people out there that want to have a genuine debate. And Twitter is a great way to do it. It makes your thoughts be concise and short, but you're able to have a debate with people you might not otherwise ever talk to. And I really like that. But when it gets ugly, I don't care, because those people don't know me, unless they do. And then it bothers me like it would anyone else. My concern is that because Ken Bennett has said he wants more transparency, has wanted more transparency, that whether or not he's right, he is going to be destroyed by some people. This is a guy that I disagree with. He still believes in this audit. He still believes that these latest rounds of subpoenas were the right thing to do. He believes in a lot of those things that I don't agree with, but he's still on that side. And what people are going to hear was he wasn't going along with the program, so he's out. And there will be a segment of these people that blame him if this audit goes sideways and doesn't produce what it was supposed to. He's going to be called the plant. He's going to be called the guy that was on the inside, the Trojan horse that destroyed it. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but it's coming because politics is ugly and this has gotten to be ugly. Whoever heard of an audit being done this way? Whoever heard of an audit being done this way? And the answer is no one. Well, the response from leadership is, well, it's never been done before. And, well, it's never been done before, but there still is a set of protocol and a set of things. You know, it's like saying a heart transplant at one point had never been done before. But that doesn't mean you don't do some of the surgical things that are always done in surgery the same way. And there, I just don't understand how people on the inside of this can't see the mile-high view of the appearance that's been created by the people on the inside of some of these things. Not the workers, the leaders. You know, when the guy from the Cyber Ninjas does the things that he has done, he is not building any confidence in impartiality. And if there's one thing you want in a juror or in an auditor, is impartiality going in. An open mind. They look like they had a set of facts and they were going to go and make those facts work. When the guy from the Cyber Ninjas testified at that Senate hearing and threw out a bunch of innuendos. Well, what about this? We just don't know. Well, what about these numbers over here? We don't know about this either. And we don't know what's going on with this. And then here comes Twitter. 74,000 of this, 10,000 of that, 1,800 of this, or whatever else it is. And then one person, somebody that I know, tweets out, looks like some people need to start lawyering up. There wasn't an ounce of evidence that was produced at that hearing. It was nothing but innuendos. And within 10 minutes, there was an explanation for almost every one of those numbers that he had spouted off, which seemed to me to be further proof that he didn't know anything about elections, because people that did know about elections said, well, that number, the 74,000, is the one that comes to mind first for everyone that's paying close attention to this. And Ken Bennett was one of the ones that put that rumor to bed, which was the 74,000 ballots that were cast early but were never mailed was not a dump. It was people that were going down to early voting centers and dropping their ballots off. So there's an easily explained rumor. I've used a very poor analogy, but I still think it's funny, so I'm going to do it again. The great show, and I say great tongue in cheek, there's a show on Animal Planet, I believe, called Finding Bigfoot. And this show every single week was out there with three people that were diehard believers in the existence of Bigfoot and one scientist who was a part of the group that was the detractor that kept saying, that means nothing. When the three other guys were getting excited about, this is real evidence. And she would go, it's not evidence of anything. We just heard a tree knock, we know, and we were beaten on a tree with a stick, and then we heard a response. That's a Bigfoot. Well, I used to always laugh and think, what if it's just another idiot in the woods somewhere else thinking you're a Bigfoot and answering your Bigfoot call with a stick? My point is, the diehards see what they want to see sometimes. The scientists see what's actually there. And I'm concerned about what's happening here, and I'm concerned about Ken Bennett leaving, not because it messes anything up in the audit, but because I don't want to see Ken Bennett dragged through the mud. I feel for him. I think he's a good man. We'll get you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. It's Did You Hear This? We'll do it in just a minute.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get you caught up quickly on all of the big news stories of the morning. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The CDC now says even vaccinated people should be wearing masks again. That includes children in schools. The director of the CDC explains why.
We've seen time and time again this summer, that there are outbreaks in schools, clusters in schools that are not taking those prevention interventions seriously. They're not masking. And in fact, as we conduct those outbreaks, many of these schools are now saying, oh, yes, we really do need to mask.
While it's against the law in Arizona to have a mask mandate in schools, should parents send their kids to school in a mask?
I think that's going to be a parental choice. I would follow the lead of Dr. Kara Crist, who said her children who are unvaccinated because they're not old enough to be vaccinated yet, they haven't been approved for their age group, are going back to school, and she will be putting masks on her children. So I will always defer to the medical experts. I consulted physicians that I know and trust about whether or not I should get vaccinated. I would do the same thing about the masks. And I think most parents would do exactly the same thing. Whatever your politics are, your children matter to you more. And I think children, our parents will make the right decision, which is why I think this talk of mask mandates is political and it's not really being done in a common sense way.
Ken Bennett is the former Secretary of State in Arizona and the only member of the election audit with any actual elections experience. Well, that was the case until he resigned today. Earlier in the week, he explained his issue with the auditors.
I was told that they'd been instructed by the auditors to not share anything with me. And then this situation where I'm told I can't even know the procedures that we're going to use on this third count. I just cannot function as the liaison, you know, with those kinds of hide the ball from me stuff.
Should we be concerned that people are now quitting mid-audit?
Well, to be fair, I would say it's at the end of the audit. But no, it's not the right thing to do. We should be concerned because we don't know the whole story. Why was Ken Bennett told he couldn't see these things? Why was Ken Bennett locked out of the property? There's a lot of insinuation out there about why he did it. But until we hear the rest of the story, I don't think we have a full picture of what exactly happened. And so I'd love to be able to get the rest of that story at some point from the Senate president or from Randy Pollin or someone else that we can talk about publicly. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 on the show, getting you caught up on the biggest news stories of the day. What's next, Steve?
Something smells fishy in Arizona. It's fish. Fish are the thing that is causing the smell.
You would never expect to find fish on a desert sidewalk, but that's exactly what people are coming across in Scottsdale after last week's storms.
Storms in Scottsdale brought a lot of rain, flooding parks, dragging fish out of ponds.
What's the worst part about storms in Arizona? Is it the fish?
Yeah, it must be the fish. it's weird because growing up where I did, getting that kind of rain was never devastating. You know, in Florida, it's just a different, the land is sandy. It's not hard like it is here. And so we didn't have the flooding that happens here. The flooding and the damage, because I drove through Scottsdale, I think on Sunday, I drove up Hayden Road, and those parks looked devastated. I mean, golf courses were just completely underwater, trees were down, fences were down. So yeah, the damage to property, because there's nowhere for the water to go, these washes that become these roaring rivers so quickly, this poor girl, the teenage girl they're looking for, the four-year-old that they've recovered, that kind of danger is the worst part. We need the rain, we need the water. But man, the devastation is very, very difficult to live with.
Mike, I know you're a Vegas guy. Did you hear about the big new residency coming to the Strip?
Adele could be set to make a return to the stage with a Las Vegas residency next year. Sources told the Sun newspaper's Bizarre column that Adele is eyeing a slot at the Strip's newest venue, Resorts World.
I can't take British reports seriously for some reason. If you could put anyone in a residency, who would it be?
Oh, you mean it so that I could see them perform?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, go down the list. Garth Brooks, again, I'd love to see Garth again. I haven't seen him. I've saw him four times in his prime. I haven't seen him since. So I'd love to see Garth Brooks. I would love to see Elton John, even though he's coming here. Rod Stewart would be a concert I'd love to see. Eric Clapton, Bob Seger. Oh, man. How much more do you want me to? How many more people do you want me to list? I'm just going through bucket list concerts that I would love to see. Any of those people in more of an intimate Vegas setting would be very cool. And I don't know that Adele story. I don't know if you saw how much money she's making.
Yeah, I did.
$100,000 a day. That is some pretty good coin. And I think she's worth it. I mean, that voice of hers, is there anybody that can sing like her anymore? there have been, like, in generations, there are people that can sing that just blow you away just by their voice. I don't know why all of the females are coming to mind, but it was Whitney Houston was one that the way she could just sing. Aretha Franklin was someone in her day that would just was an amazing singer. I even thought Gladys Knight was one that could sing just like an angel. They're just amazing with their voices and what they can do. I watched a documentary, I've seen it probably four or five times, about Luciano Pavarotti. And I'm not, obviously, I mean, look at me. Do I look cultured enough to really know a lot about opera? But I loved Pavarotti's voice. It is just incredible to hear how he could sing. So I think she's worth every bit of $100,000 a day, because I think they're going to bring that in and more with people wanting to see her. Don't you?
It's not that much more than we pay you. Just kidding.
Yeah, you are definitely kidding. Although I'll take it. If they want to give me that kind of cash, I'm not shying away from it. We got to talk about the vaccines one more time. There is so many layers to what's happening that I want to get to some common ground, and I don't know if it's possible. Can we find common ground when it comes to vaccinations, when it comes to masking people, and some of the absolute hypocrisy from our federal government? So we're going to talk about those things coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
That reminds me, Governor Ducey's on tomorrow. We're going to have the governor with us tomorrow. And obviously, we now know what the topic of conversation is going to be. What big news? Dr. Kara Chris stepping down as the director of health services to take another job. Well-deserved, I would say. I think the world of Dr. Christ. I think she's been a great guest on this show. I think she's been very honest. It's not easy when you're in the public eye for any reason to be transparent about your family. I, that's coming from someone who tries to be as transparent about everything going on with me, from divorce to everything else. It's not easy sometimes. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. You want to protect the people you love. But she's been very honest about her kids and COVID and what she's doing. So she's going to be missed. And I'm going to be anxious to find out who the governor might be looking at as a replacement, especially now at a time where COVID is starting to make a comeback with this Delta variant. Interesting. It'll be a great conversation tomorrow at 8:35 with Governor Ducey. I hope you can be here. And I hope he wasn't upset about the use of that Van Halen song.
Well, Gatos kept calling him Governor Ice Cream.
There's a big difference between calling him Governor Ice Cream in an insulting way like Gatos does. And I would call more of a homage. That song is one of my favorite Van Halen songs because it was just a fun song.
Yeah, I mean, he
have you
used
heard
to
that song?
The,
you've never heard that song.
I'd never heard that song, no. But that's Ducey's. It's his past, you know? Like, you can't avoid it. You got to lean into it.
Yeah. You have to.
The ice cream man. He was the CEO of the ice cream.
Matter of fact,
place.
He should come in here tomorrow wearing a white suit, like the ice cream man. Wouldn't it be great?
And one of those foldable hats.
Yeah, and have one of the guys that walk with him. Maybe his security detail. You know, they're all DPS officers, and they're all big, you know, kind of ominous looking guys. One of them should play that music when he walks behind him that the ice cream truck plays when it's driving through your neighborhood.
It would be nice if he'd bring ice cream.
And if anybody from his office is listening, they're going to cancel the appearance tomorrow when they talk with us. In all seriousness, let's talk about COVID-19. I've got in front of me a bunch of different news stories. Most of Arizona included among areas the CDC recommends for masking indoors. Superintendent Hoffman, who, by the way, we'll be talking to tomorrow, urges governor to let Arizona schools mandate masks. CDC says all students, teachers should wear masks. What does it mean for Arizona? Arizona Department of Health Services matches new CDC guideline recommending mask wearing. All of that is in line. And that's one set of the headlines. How about this? Over 40,000 mostly unvaccinated migrants released by Biden skip out on their ICE appointments. Texas police learn COVID-positive illegal immigrants sent to local hotels after a Whataburger encounter with the police. This is the mixed message. And so right away, here's where the insults start getting cast, when people start screaming and yelling that somehow I am trying to shift the blame of the spread of the Delta variant to people that are in the country illegally. That is absolutely not what I'm doing. What I am saying is you want to talk about super spreader events. One of the stories I saw about the Trump rally in town, not a mask in sight. And they start screaming super spreader. Why? That's where it's political. People on the left don't like it. So therefore, they're going to find any means necessary to demean any importance or any impact it might have. So it's ludicrous. When you have the federal government and its policies, and they have come out with a policy now saying, even if you've been vaccinated, you should start wearing a mask indoors. That's a great question. Why? Because, and I will tell you why not. My opinion, why not? Number one, and the biggest of all of these, forget inconvenience, forget any of that. The message you are sending is defeating your argument that the vaccine works. Here's Peter Ducey with Fox News talking to Jen Psaki, who is the White House spokesperson.
The vaccines work, which this sign says that they do. Then why do people who have had the vaccine need to now wear masks?
So that's a great question. If the vaccines work and there's a sign right behind her that says that it does, why do people that have been vaccinated have to wear masks? The answer is telling.
The same as people who have not had it.
Because the public health leaders in our administration have made the determination based on data that that is a way to make sure they're protected, their loved ones are protected, and that's an extra step given the transmissibility of the virus that people that they're advising people.
So what she is saying, reading between the lines, is that the vaccine doesn't work, right? That the vaccine is not beating this variant. Well, no, that's not what she's saying. That's what she said. The reason why you have to do it is based on the data. We are giving this extra level of protection. It's protecting them. It's protecting their families. So then why get the vaccine? Now, I'm not saying that for myself. It's more of a rhetorical question that's coming from the unvaccinated. You understand the people that were convinced that the vaccination was the right way to go, we ran to get vaccinated so that we could get back to a sense of normalcy. And we have. And we're not going back. We are not going back. And this is where the rift is coming in. Now, as far as schools go, I've the numbers are exhausting sometimes, but they are so crystal clear. You want to know who's getting it? Young people. Young people. 1,000, and I shouldn't say 1,000, but just under 1,000. 994 out of 1,361 cases that came in overnight are from people under the age of 45. 305 of them are kids under the age of 20. One person has been hospitalized. One person. The total number of deaths in the state of Arizona since the beginning of COVID-19 record keeping is 34 under the age of 20. 34 deaths. The vast majority of those, if not all of them, were people with comorbidities, number one. Number two, the suicide rate among people under the age of 20 is higher than 34 since the tracking of COVID-19. Masking kids in schools. And what's funny about this is they're saying, well, the reason why you're doing that is because they are asymptomatic when they get COVID-19. And so they don't know they're spreading it to people that are at real risk. So you're going even a level further and saying, we know they're not getting sick. They're not dying, but they're getting other people sick. So we're going to mask them. Why not mask the people that are at risk? This is a confusing, angering, frustrating policy that's happening that's going to take us so in the wrong direction. A little bit more about this because the numbers don't lie, but the mixed message from the federal government on so many levels that is devastating to people. People have a right to ask questions. People have a right in this situation to be very confused. We'll clear up some of the confusion next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Some of the experts that you would expect that would be on board with this new mask mandate for vaccinated people aren't necessarily. Will Humble, who used to be the director of health services and who talked about the necessity of doing certain things and doing them sooner that he believes would have helped beat COVID-19, had been critical of Dr. Crist, had been critical of the governor's office at times. But now the policy from the CDC that says we should be trying to mask vaccinated people, he thinks is counterproductive and had this to say about it.
We should be focusing our interventions precisely on the population where the core of the transmission is happening, and that's with unvaccinated populations.
So it is, it's interesting to me when you hear someone make those comments, because again, you're talking about interventions here. How do we get unvaccinated people? Now, as most of you know, I went on, I've talked with Cuomo on CNN, which I got to tell you, I never in a million years thought that I would develop a rapport with Chris Cuomo. I didn't. And I have. We've had civil yet very heated debates, I would say, via text message. And we've talked on the air a couple of times. And part of the conversation with him has been about vaccines and has been about masking. And to get people to understand that this isn't about politics for everyone. And you can't rip people for their beliefs. If you want to, you can. You just don't do any good. Look at the numbers. The people that are getting and spreading the coronavirus are in the age group that is 20 to 44 years old. It is not even close. Here in the state of Arizona, 406,000, almost 406,500 of the 21,000 cases that we've had. So almost half are in that age group. They do make up a minuscule number of hospitalizations in comparison. And also the death numbers are not nearly as high as others. So if you think about this from this perspective, 406,000 cases, 764 deaths. It's a very low number in comparison to the number of cases. Comparatively, 119,000, almost just under 119,000 cases over 65 with 13,500 deaths. Much, much higher number. We have targeted the wrong people at times, in my opinion, and I think we're doing it again. School-age kids and masking kids in schools, we can talk about that political nonsense till we're blue in the face. And I'm not saying that masks are nonsense. I'm talking about the politics being nonsense. When you hear Joe Thomas from the Red for Ed group bashing the governor, well, what else is new? What a shock. What a shock that they're upset with the governor. By the way, the superintendent who wants a mask mandate in schools is going to join us tomorrow. Kathy Hoffman, again, a frequent guest on the show. We don't always agree on things, but I always appreciate her willingness to come on and talk about this. But before we get to the kids and mandating masking of children, let's go back to the 20 to 44-year-old age group. People, busy lives, many of them young families, many of them careers that they are going 1,000 miles an hour toward. So the idea of getting a vaccine is not high on their priority list, especially when they know they're at low risk for serious illness and an even lower risk of death. So you're fighting an uphill battle getting them to prioritize a vaccine. Now you're going to tell them, put a mask back on, even if you're vaccinated. Good luck. I mean that sincerely. Good luck getting those people to rush out and get the vaccine. Now, Scott Gottlieb, who used to be with the FDA, said in a few weeks, we're going to be past this anyway.
I don't think that we're going to get enough bang for our buck by telling vaccinated people they have to wear masks at all times to make it worth our while. I think we're further into this Delta wave than we're picking up. I've been saying that for weeks. I think, in another 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be through this. This new guidance will have a negligible impact on that.
So the big concern is, as we see these strains morph, they're worried about a strain morphing into something that is completely that can completely overrun the vaccinated. That's what they don't want to get to. But telling people and fear tactics and anger is not helping. What we need to be doing is talking to people about why we need to lower this number of cases with something that is this contagious. And he's right in saying this. And if you think about how the cycle has gone, he's also right about the fact in just a few weeks, we're going to be on the backside of this and on to the next crisis. We've got to stop with the knee-jerk panic and figure out solutions. This political panic and arguing isn't doing any good whatsoever. Don't forget, 8:35 tomorrow morning, Governor Ducey is going to join the show. Looking forward to a conversation with him. Social media users, at Broomhead KTAR on Twitter, and Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. Would love to keep in touch with you outside of the show. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 8, the governor at 8:35. Have a great day. God bless.